Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. Today's guest is Celeste Headlee, an award-winning journalist who's appeared on NPR, PBS, PRI, CNN, BBC, and other international networks. If you don't know who Celeste is, all you have to do is type in just the word Celeste and an entire page will populate on Google. She has hosted national public radio, anchoring shows like Tell Me More, Talk of the Nation, All Things Considered, and Weekend Edition. And the super cool thing is Celeste is also one of the managing editors and mentors for the Next Generation Radio Project, which trains young reporters and editors in broadcasting. She's also wrote a book called Herd Mentality, and we're going to have a link in the show notes so that all of you can purchase this. If you are a Top Advisor Marketing client already, I've already referred to this book repeatedly, because this is kind of like my book that I talk to people about how to become a good podcaster. But today we actually have the author, a person who has done more radio and more podcasts than really anybody I've ever interviewed. So Celeste, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much for having me.
This is a pretty meta podcast because I'm going to be asking you questions about podcasting on a podcast, which I'm really super excited about. So let's just jump right in. I mean, what makes a good host? How do you even know if podcasting is right for you?
That's actually a difficult question, because half of hosting can be taught and half of it is innate. So let's talk first about the innate part, because oftentimes this is the part people get caught up in. They feel like they are funny, that they entertain people when they're talking. And so sometimes they think, hey, I should start a podcast. But the part that makes you a good host is not the same as being a great, I guess, engaging or entertaining speaker. Because in order to be a good podcast host, you have to know when to step back and allow someone else to step forward and take the limelight. That's if you're interviewing anyone, and most podcasts do, right? Have some kind of interview in them. And that means you have to bring people on who it's possible are smarter than you, who it's possible are funnier than you are, and allow them to shine. So it can be confusing what makes you a good host. At the same time, you have to sound at least nice, pleasant, not aggressive, not hostile. And then you add on to that all the stuff that can be trained, which is your discipline, which is watching the clock, knowing how long someone's been talking and whether it's time to interrupt them, how to politely redirect someone's conversation to move it back to the point at hand. All of those technical details that go into being a good host as well.
Financial services professionals generally talk for a living, so they presuppose, just as you said, that they would be great on the podcast, but most of them are talking all the time. Now, I want to switch gears right into technique and practice. How do you interrupt somebody politely to get them either redirected, rephrase what they're saying, change the topic, or just stop a 7-minute long explanation for something that could have taken two?
You know, part of it is always approaching it with curiosity. So if somebody's been talking for a really long time, sometimes they'll say, wow, this is really interesting. Could we go back to blah, 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 blah? Mm-hmm. I will redirect them with my question that is spoken in a curious and respectful way, rather than just saying, I'm going to interrupt you and get you back to whatever. Let's go back to, when you phrase it this way, it inevitably points out that the other person got off track. And that's what you're trying not to do. So if you are interrupting them, you can agree, say, oh, I absolutely agree with this. Or you can disagree and say, I'm not sure I understand what you're saying. Can we go over? Can we go back to? Can I ask you about blah, 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 blah? And you can also just be completely straightforward and say, pardon me, I'm going to interrupt you for just a second because I want to clarify blah. In any case, it's best not to try to hide that you're interrupting. All of these different scenarios I've just given you have been very clear that you are interrupting. It's just that you're interrupting for a purpose and that you are still engaged in what they're saying.
Now, I listen to NPR a lot just because I firmly believe that NPR sets the standard, and you helped set that standard, which I'm incredibly grateful for. I love when I hear somebody like Joshua Johnson or or Terry Gross interrupt somebody, because it always makes them feel respected. And I love that, but I'd like to know maybe just a little bit more. How do you, or can you teach that level of curiosity? You said that that's one of the best things about being a podcast host, or being a good podcast host, is curiosity. How do you teach people to check their ego at the door?
So I find that it can be self-reaffirming. Again, I'm assuming that we're not dealing with a sociopath here. And that I knew that was going to make you laugh, but I'm being serious here. In fact, there's oftentimes in this particular field in broadcasting, just like with CEOs, you get a higher percentage of sociopaths looking for limelight. So you will run into them. Yeah. But as long as that's not what you're dealing with, the vast majority of us, it doesn't take too much to remind us that other people are really interesting. And if you can get someone to sort of stop talking and listen to someone else's story, if you can direct them to hear someone else's expertise, and this is one of the things I say in my TEDx talk, you know, Bill Nye in the commencement speech, that everybody in the world knows something you don't. And the way that I always phrase that is that everybody is an expert in something. If you can get people to start looking and searching for other people's expertise, regardless of their job title or how impressive their CV is, that will eventually become self-rewarding. It's really interesting to hear other people's experiences, and almost everybody has them. Once you can do that, it can alight people's curiosity in a way that has not been inspired for a really long time, because what we've been doing for the past 15 years, at least, especially through social media, is creating our own brands. We've been talking, and we have, in some cases, forgotten the joys of listening. But it's not hard to reinforce that once someone really has a good experience.
Let's talk about listening. You have a whole section of the book on active listening. How do you position that level? And also, you talk about practicing active listening. Can you break that down for us?
Yeah, you know, because I give speeches to companies all over the world, and a lot of times people will leave my keynote speech and say, I'm going to be a better listener. And I will say to them, you will not. That's not how this works. That would be like if you could go to the gym, do a really tough workout, and then you're done exercising for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. That's not how that happens. Listening is difficult. It is a discipline, which means that every single day you're going to need to be reminded to try it. Not even every single day, but every conversation. You're going to find that your brain, someone says something, it sparks a thought in your brain. Your brain is going to start tootling along on this thought that you have, this memory that you have, and you're going to have to force yourself, wrench yourself away from your own thoughts and back to what the other person is saying. That's an almost constant practice. And one of the only ways that you can, that I know of, to train that is through mindfulness meditation, which is literally training you to return to the breath and allow thoughts to go in and out of your mind. So when I say that listening is a discipline, I mean it quite literally.
I feel incredibly lucky being a podcast host, because I love to listen. And, you know, I know people say that, but I love hearing other people's stories, Celeste. I've interviewed Olympia. I know you have interviewed unbelievable people. And how much of a privilege is it for us to be that host, to be that interviewer, to have that person's time? I love that level of humility. And you talk about that in the book, making sure that you are coming at it with a humble approach too. And you all need to practice listening. In fact, there's great TED Talks on listening. There's a couple of great books out there that I will attempt to think of as we continue with this podcast. If not, we'll put it in the show notes. But let's talk about some of the other things that hosts need to practice. What are some other things that you have found that when you have been on podcasts or you're listening to podcasts that are mistakes that can be corrected through practice or technique?
So one of the really common technique mistakes is constantly inserting yourself. In my TED Talk, this is what I talk about when I say don't equate your experience with others. It's really common for interviewers to feel they need to prove how much they know about a topic, or prove their preparation, or prove how serious they are, or prove that they are deserving of respect. And one of the ways they do this is by you know, a really prime example is I worked with a guy who every single expert that came on, he would then start describing what he knows about their subject. So we'd bring on Neil deGrasse Tyson, and this person would say, oh, you know, from what I know about astrophysics, blah, 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 blah. And I kept thinking in my head, Neil deGrasse Tyson doesn't give a good goddamn what you know about astrophysics. You're not going to impress him with your knowledge of astrophysics. No, and not only that, but you're not serving your audience. You've brought this person on because they're an expert in something. Let us hear their expertise. Let us hear their insights. So that's a really common mistake. Someone will say that they're reporting from Saudi Arabia, and an interviewer will say, well, when I was in Saudi Arabia, here's what I saw. Totally irrelevant. And it's not about you anyway. And this is kind of something that you need to keep in the back of your mind, is it's not about you. Mm-hmm. Even if you're the one talking, even if I'm doing a podcast that's my reactions to things, in the end, it's not about me. You're serving an audience. You're not serving yourself. Another way that this comes up is the way we ask questions. Sometimes we'll ask questions in a way to show our deep insight on things. So we'll ask these complicated questions, or we'll say, you know, I read your novel, blah, 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 and I was really interested in this one chapter. I found it curious, you know, and this is demonstrating to the author, number one, we're proving that we read the book, but we're also sort of humble bragging a little bit about our deep insight into the novel. And I find myself often thinking to myself, okay, for someone who's listening to this radio show or podcast, what is it that the average listener wants to know? Like, what are the questions that immediately come up? Those are the questions I have to ask. I'm a surrogate for my audience when I'm sitting in that host chair.
Switching gears, let's talk about the voice. You have been on a microphone consistently for many, many hours at times. How do you warm up? How do you cool down? What do you do to make sure that your voice is in peak position?
Well, you know, my training, as you know, is in opera. So when I do warm-ups, I do the same sort of really gentle warm-ups that one might do if when we're getting ready to sing. You don't have to sing opera to warm up to host, but you can do just basic little humming exercise just to get the voice moving. Remember that the voice is a muscle. It's these little tiny, thin, fragile muscles suspended in the middle of your throat. And just as you wouldn't go running a marathon without at least stretching a bit, you don't want to start talking for hours without warming up those muscles, getting some warmth in there and doing it gently. The other most important thing is to make sure that you're constantly hydrated. And this is one of the things I wanted to make sure I pointed out in that book, is that coffee is a drying agent. It doesn't hydrate you. Caffeine dries out your system. It does not moisturize it. So if you really want fluids, you have to stay away from sodas. You have to stay, even non-caffeinated sodas, since carbonation also is a drying agent. Stay away from coffee, stay away from sodas, and stick to tea, herbal teas, or water. And you need to be drinking pretty constantly. Again, imagine this closed system inside your mouth, right? You close your mouth, it's very humid in there, it's very moist, your muscles love it. But then you open up your mouth and you start talking. Now, the more that you talk, the more air is flowing back and forward over your vocal cords. That can be extremely drying. And when you get to the end of a couple hours, you might feel that dryness that you didn't pay attention to. So the last most important bit of advice is to really get in tune with the way your throat feels. Start giving it some respect. Start like asking yourself, stopping for a moment, breathing and thinking, okay, how does my throat feel? Am I dry? And then taking care of that voice.
Standing versus sitting. Do you have an opinion?
No, it's all up to you. Okay. I have done both at different times. If I'm going to be talking for a really long period of time, I will usually at least spend part of that time sitting. I will say this, though. Some hosts make the mistake of standing up while their guests are sitting down.
Ooh.
And that's a really bad idea. Because basically what you're doing is you're putting yourself in this superior position that cannot help but intimidate physically and emotionally your guest. And that's the last thing you want to do. You do not want to be standing over your guest. You're trying to make them feel as comfortable as possible. Other than that, just be comfortable. If you need energy, stand up. You know, when I was hosting a show called The Takeaway out of New York, I had one of those giant yoga balls that I would sit on because I could bounce up and down and sort of get my legs working and get some energy flowing while I was sitting there for hours.
Let's talk about format. Do you think that a show should have a strict format? Do you think it should have standardized questions in order for setting clear expectations? Let's talk about the philosophy of that, if you don't mind.
I want to begin with a caveat, which is that the format should always serve the function, not the other way around. So if the function of your podcast is to provide information about the news, let me use that example because clearly that's usually what I'm doing, then you need to make sure that everything you're doing inside that podcast fulfills that primary mission. Don't structure your segments because that's the decision you made about how format should be. Even when you've made choices about format, which I highly recommend, they need to be flexible enough to serve your content. That said, the best hosts shouldn't be reading questions off a page. That's going to sound harsh because I know a lot of good hosts who do read questions right off the page. But if you're following the course of a conversation, if your preparation is thorough enough, then you should be able to have an initial question written down and a final question written down. In other words, you should know where that conversation will begin and where you want it to end. And in the middle, you should be listening well enough to be able to respond with a completely unexpected question. For my scripts, I usually use bullet points, which is the producers will put down things that they want to make sure I cover or interesting tidbits they discovered in their research. And so I'll have those lists of bullet points. Someone may even have written questions for me, which for me just shows me how they think the conversation should go. And that's not usually how it actually goes. Because if people will say stuff you don't expect.
Yeah.
People will say things you didn't see coming. And you don't want to just go to the next scripted question and ignore what they've just said.
How do you put your guests at ease then, Celeste? When I've interviewed people, they will say, well, you didn't send me any questions. And I position our podcast as a conversational podcast. Yes, I do have some points that I want to address, but how do you put your guests at ease if you're not sending them a formalized list of questions?
So we can send them a list of topics that we want to cover. So one of the ways I set people at ease is exactly what you did for me, which you weren't recording so people didn't hear, which is that you said, okay, this is what's about to happen. I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do this, and then this, and then this, and this, and this. So I didn't have to imagine what was going to happen or worry about it. You just said, this is what's going to occur. That's a really important thing to do for people. So when they sit down, I'll say, okay, this interview is about 6 minutes long. It's not live. I can edit it. If you screw up, don't worry. We'll go back. And another thing that I'll tell them right away is I'll say, listen, if I start making noises, if I start going, it means I'm trying to interrupt you for time. And I'd really rather not interrupt you. So, you know, find a period, find a place to stop if I'm doing that. All of those things make that person feel secure because they have knowledge of what's going to occur. The other thing that you can do is I always tell guests, if I ask you a question you don't know the answer to or you don't feel comfortable, just tell me. It's totally okay. I will move on to the next question. And I will give them examples of how to do that. I'll say, if I ask you a question you don't want to answer, you say, you know, I don't have a good answer for that, but let me tell you about blah, 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 blah. And I will invite them to offer up different information if they don't want to give the information I've asked for. Sometimes people don't even think of that, right? They think they need to answer the question that you've had. That's how you get the sort of deer in the headlights guest. So if you arm them in advance, they're ready.
Let's talk about the technical aspects of the show now. This is where I think everything that is produced mainstream-wise is such at the next level. How do you produce a great show? If you want to talk about equipment, I don't even know where you want to go with that, but Let's just talk about that because you produce so many shows.
Yeah, I would say you have to have a clear vision first. And it can't just be, I'm entertaining, I'm going to record me talking. NPR is, I'm sure you know, is really dominating the podcast realm. And that's not by accident. For decades, NPR has been highly produced. They give you landscapes of conversations. They are structured. They include music. They include sounds, what we call ambient sound in NPR, which is that if we're going to go speak to a farmer, we spend a couple minutes just getting sound of the farm, which helps people to sort of be in that moment. And what ends up happening once you've really produced something well is that it sounds entertaining to the voice. It's not boring. It's not monotonous. There's lots of stuff going on. There's a landscape, an aural landscape, if you will. So that's the most important thing, is be intentional and produce every moment. Think about every moment. And when I say be intentional, it means there needs to be a broader purpose to your podcast other than just the fact that you want to talk on a podcast. I hate to sound like a broken record, but they need to be in service of your audience, not in service of you. I mean, certainly if you're intending to find an audience, you need to think about them. So you have to ask yourself, what is my mission here? You probably want to create a mission statement. This is what we do. This is what makes this podcast unique. This is what we do that is not done by other podcasts. And write it down. And that should be your guiding principle that you pretty much stick to. Otherwise, you will sound like every other podcast, which is just someone talking about what they like. And you might get a niche audience, but you may not, unless you're a celebrity, you may not get a wide listenership. And in terms of technical aspects, don't just talk into your cell phone. And do a little bit of research, not just research online, because frankly, if you don't know anything about the microphones and the cables are important, and all of the other equipment that's required for podcasting, if you don't know anything about them, you can get really misled by some of the reviews and some of the things that are posted online. It's best to find someone who knows their stuff and get their advice. Maybe a couple people, call up a studio, see if you can talk to an engineer, talk to someone else who is involved in podcasting whose audio quality is good, and go from there. Because you're going to end up, when you're interviewing people, you're going to end up interviewing people who are in all kinds of different situations. I'm sitting in a hotel room in New York right now, but I am an NPR person, so I have very high quality Bose headphones with a microphone attached. Most people don't have that, and they don't understand why you can't just interview them while they're on a cell phone walking to their office. But the fact of the matter is that people's patience for bad audio is pretty short. That's one thing we have discovered at NPR, is that if somebody's on a scratchy cell phone and people are missing every one word out of five, they lose patience pretty quickly.
Amen. That's something that drives me crazy. Okay. To wrap up today's podcast, I think a lot of people really want to use this medium because they feel it's a great way for people to get to know who they are, feel like they're just closer to that person. They understand a little bit more because our ears are such a huge component of how we make decisions and what we hear. How do you, and how has all of the stuff that you've worked on been so successful getting it out to the public? Do you have any secret sauce there or advice for our audience?
The secret sauce is don't do any one thing for any length of time. And by that, I mean, give people's ears a break, right? Like if you're listening to a great piece of music, if you really enjoy it, it usually is not monotone. And it usually combines both fast tempi with slow tempi. Like, for example, if you're listening to a fast song, most pop songs, they only last like 2.5-3 minutes. That's about how long we can take the same tempo at a time. If you listen to a longer piece of music like a symphony, it has all kinds of tempi in there, and rhythms and sounds and different voices coming in. So I would say that part of the secret sauce is this public radio love obsession with variety of voices, variety of sounds, getting people's attention back. You know, here's the thing. Our attention spans, we all know this, have shrunken. Microsoft does some of the best research into attention spans, and online, we have an average attention span of 8 seconds. That's 1 second shorter than the attention span of a goldfish. So if you're intending to just open up the mic and get someone on who you know, or you've been a colleague with and you think they're very interesting, and just talk for 45 minutes, you may lose people's attention fairly quickly. So give them a break. Even if the core of your podcast is that conversation, break it up a little bit with a little bit of variety.
I always wondered why NPR does that and they take frequent breaks. I never put that together. That's flipping brilliant.
Yeah, you have to kind of give people a chance to just be human beings.
Wow, we're going to have to make some changes here because of that. That's freaking awesome. All right. What's next from Celeste Headley? So what do you have going on that our audience can tune into? We're going to make sure that we have your TED Talk link in the show notes. What else is going on, Celeste?
So there's a couple things I'll mention, and I'll be brief. The first one is that I have a new book coming out next year that's going to be focused on our obsession with efficiency and productivity and how it's gotten to the point of overuse, to where it's become toxic. That's coming from Random House next year. The other thing that's happening this year is a show called Retro Report that I'm hosting along with the artist Masoud Olufani, and contributions from Andy Borowitz, the comedian, is coming from PBS. PBS has picked it up as an hour-long show beginning this year. And again, it's called Retro Report. Retro Report is focused on going back to the start of many of the issues that are current and explaining how we got where we are and reminding people of what the history is of certain things that we think of as being very, very modern. It's great.
I'm looking forward to it. Celeste, thank you so much for being a guest on our show and giving us all sorts of great thought leadership on how to be a better podcaster.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for asking good questions.
If you have not subscribed to the podcast, make sure you click that subscribe now button below. And we'd also love it if you just take a moment and rate the podcast. That way it'll show up even higher on iTunes. And also, if you give us any sort of comments, we look at those comments and make adjustments accordingly. If you know somebody who would be a great guest for the Top Advisor Marketing Podcast, make sure that you email me at matt@topadvisorm.com. And we would love to have you on. We've got lots of podcasts coming up this year, and it's going to be hopefully an absolutely fantastic year for some great thought leadership that will help you run a better practice and be a better marketer. So for Celeste Headley, this is Matt Halloran, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.
This was brought to you by Iris.xyz, a platform helping financial professionals become better in business and life through new media and new voices. Visit them and learn more at iris.xyz.